Good evening, Abba Yisrael. I had some machshava on the 3 weeks. I think I've got over here a gewaldige vote which I saw on the Sif Sechaim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us how the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And it tells Rava, describes the events leading towards the Churban HaBayis and the actual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a mighty Gemara over here. It's hidden, it's a little bit, it's in Sanhedrin. And Rava says that when the chief general, Nebuzradon, went to the gates of Yerushalayim, there's a description of how initially he tried to attempt to breach through the walls. First it didn't work, and then he thought that it's not going to work out. Like Sancheiriv didn't manage to breach through and break through the walls of Yerushalayim, so he first attempted, it didn't quite work, so he said, forget it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, there's a voice going, and the voice, there's a call, a voice going of the Baskol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Shavoir Bar Shavoir Nebuzradon, Shavoir. He says, you keep going, give it another attempt, try it again. And the Baskol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, good, try once again. And he said, I should really try again. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go for it. Leap through, go ahead. And he tries once again. He's got one little hit and everything collapses. And then he keeps going and then he brings, he breaches through the walls. And the Gemara continues a little more detailed. And then he tries to bring a flame onto the Beis HaMikdash. Adlik Beinoira. He goes into the Heichal. Adlik Beinoira. And he wants to burn it. And here again, he's got a bit of a hesitation. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the words, he's about to burn the Beis HaMikdash. He's a little bit unsure about actually doing it. Not quite sure what his reservation was at this point, but he's got reservations. This chief general, Nebuzradon. And then he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then again, a Baskol comes and he says to him, and these are the words. He killed people on the way until he reached the Heichol. Hadlik Benoira, he burns the fire, he makes the fire burn. And then Docha ben Hashemai, and then he says, Baskol Vamwa, Ama Katilo Katalt, Heichol Kalya Kaliso. He's a Heichol Kalya Kaliso. You are burning a burn. Don't worry about it. Go for it, burn it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Heichol Kali Kolisa, you're burning a Heichol, a Beis HaMikdash which is burnt already, it's already in ashes. Don't worry, keep on, you can burn it. The Heichol is already in ashes. Kim Chotachino Tichanto. He says, you're destroying something which is already flour, which is already ground, which is already destroyed. Shnema Kirichayim, and he brings a Pasuk. And then once he's heard that, he's more confident and comfortable destroying it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells his chief general, has about to approach, he says, don't worry about it. What you're destroying, what you're burning, what you're attempting to burn is burnt already. And what you're destroying is already destroyed. It's already in ashes. So don't worry about it, you can keep going. And obviously the question is, what is it? It's not true. It wasn't in ashes at that point. He wasn't destroyed at that point. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean? You go for it, destroy it. It's destroyed already. It's already grounded. It's already in pieces. Burn it. It's already, you're not burning it. It's already in ashes. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean by saying that? And I think Rabbi said this is the Mordechai Yesod of here. And it's not my thought. It's something which I saw in Sif Sechaim. And the Emma says that Nefesh Chaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin says it. The Sif Sechaim explains and he says that actually the Beis HaMikdash is not something which intrinsically had Heiligkeit and Kedusha. It's not something which in its own right had Kedusha. It's something which the Kedusha was only achieved by us, Klal Yisrael, by us giving it its Kedusha, it retained its Kedusha. But Kedusha was only there because of Klal Yisrael's Kedusha. Once Klal Yisrael had sinned and they had done all the Averes, the Kedusha disappeared naturally so from the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, the Kedusha, the stones were still there and the walls were still standing, but very hollow ones without any Kedusha. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already taken and removed already its Kedusha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had taken away its Kedusha and its Roimimus. Therefore,
when Nebuchadnezzar was standing there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, you can destroy it. It's already destroyed based on it. Yes, it was destroyed. You burn it, it's already burnt already. Yes, it was burnt, it was destroyed already. Because all there was the physical existence of it. But the physical existence is worth nothing. Because the Kedusha, the Heiligkeit, and everything which the Beis HaMikdash really stood for, which is much more than the physical existence, that had disappeared, it vanished already. Because the Shbuch had taken away, because Klal Yisrael weren't on that level anymore. It's Meirdik, it's a very, very important thought, and that's what Reb Chaim Friedlander explains the Gemara, Pashkiach HaPonivish, how explains the Gemara. But the truth is that looking into it, as soon as Reb Chaim Voloshin in Nefesh HaChaim actually says, Mamash that vote. Chaim Voloshin explains, and he said that Kedusha is something which is never just on stones and on walls. Kedusha is something which we can achieve. Chaim Voloshin speaks about a person who's got, he says, the person who's got Machshava Zoros, the famous shtickle of Chaim Voloshin in Shai Aleph, somebody's got not pure thoughts going through his mind. He's got minds which, in his mind, he thinks about things which are not great, or not on a Kedusha level. He says that itself is far, far worse, he says, than Titus destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Because destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is something very physical, and has not much relevance to it. But a person, a Yid, who is better than such a heilige person, who has got in his mind going through things which are not Kedusha, he says that's far worse, because that reaches the Olam HaZelyonim. Reb Chaim Voloshin explains, that's something which is in the high worlds, that's not in the material world, that's in the spiritual existence and spiritual world, that's far worse. Therefore, he says that somebody has got thoughts going through his mind, he's far worse than a person physically destroying the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Chaim Voloshin says. And he says there, Moedig in addition, it sounds like Chassid Shavot, but Chaim Voloshin is saying it. So we say in Mishnah, Obas Dam Alemalo Mimcha. That's what the Mishnah Obas says. What's the translation of Dam Alemalo Mimcha? It's normally on the, it's often on the, on the poiches, on the or, no, often it's standing there. Da malamalum chano. Yeah, da. You should know malamalum chod. Da, what's higher up than you? Malamalum, what's higher up than you? What's higher? And it's very that you know. You should know that the Rebbeinu Shlom is there, and you have to watch what you're doing, watch your steps. Da malamalum chod. There's a posh understanding Mishnah. Chaim Voloshin says such a chesed shepshat. I wouldn't have thought that Chaim Voloshin. I would have said I did not know it's Chaim Voloshin. I would have said it's chesed shepshatel. But Chaim Voloshin says in that shai, says, so he translates it very differently. And he says, da, you should know, malemalo, what is higher up than you, mimcha is from you. Da malemalo, whatever is higher up in the spiritual world, what's the kedusha, the ruchnistic existence, mimcha is from you. Because us, we've got a tremendous kayach, tremendous kayach to achieve heilige things. And chas v'shalom, the opposite as well. The spiritual world is something which we create. And Cholid, the opposite as well. If we don't create the Kedusha, then there's no physical existence for things. And therefore, the Pshat in the Gemara is, that's what Chaim Voloshin says, that if somebody, Nebuchadnezzar was easy for him to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, because all that was left was just stones, and he could easily destroy that. But the Kedusha had vanished already because the Klal Yisrael wasn't on that level anymore. Similarly, the Malamalam, Mimcha, whatever we create, the Kedusha that we create, and Cholid, the opposite, is from us that we created. Reminds me, and I'm going to finish off with that. I remember this is one of the experiences, one of the very powerful experiences I had when I was teaching. One of the most powerful, probably one of the very powerful experiences I had when I was teaching. When I was teaching, I had once the following. We davened once. It was in year three, and there was a choler. I forgot who he was. I forgot who was davening. I said in class, we're going to be davening now. We're going to sit the hearing for a choler for somebody who was not well. And with that, we said some kapitel chteilim. And then afterwards, the following day, a boy came up to me very distressed in class. And he said, I said, did we daven yesterday for this chole? I think it was one of the gdolim, one of the tzaddikim. And I said, yeah. He said, I heard that he's not better. The boy tells me, I said, yes, it's true, he's still a chole. But then he says, ultimately, he said, but I don't understand, we davened yesterday for him. So how can it be that he's not well? We davened yesterday for him, so how can it be? And the truth is, I had no response, I had nothing to answer, because in theory, he's right. In theory, he's right. Dama lamalo, mimcha, the unbelievable kayach that we have, we just keep underestimating our kayach. And what goes through our mind is of incredible power. And that's something which we have to internalize. That's probably pshat in the 3 weeks. Reb Shimshon Pinkus writes in the Sefer, towards one of the very last pages, he says something more. He says that we've got the halachas of the 3 weeks. What are the halachas? Very basic. What is it already? What are the halachas of the 3 weeks?
No chasen, no music, no haircuts, very basic stuff. So he said it's very strange. Rav Shimon says, if we were collecting, that's what he puts, if we collect a vessel of all the tears that go in, all the Eden in this town, in this country, all over the world, all the tears that are shed for the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, how many vessels would we be able to fill of tears, of Eden crying for the Beis HaMikdash? How much would we be able to fill? How many barrels of tears? Barrels, vessels, glasses, Kiddush cups, Kiddush man. How much are we able to fill? Unfortunately, probably very, very little. Rav Shimon says, well, if that's the case, then whom are we trying to fool? What are we doing those halachas if nobody's up to that level of actually mourning the Beis HaMikdash? If we're not mourning the Beis HaMikdash, then what's the point? What's the point of doing those basic halachas? So Rav Shimon then explains, good question, no? Rav Shimon then explains, it's one of the very, very last pages. This is the Moedig Avot. It says, because it shows that we care. That's what Kadosh Baruch wants to show, that we care. If we do those basic halachas, that show ichpatiyot in Ivrit. Ichpatiyot, we care. You know, we care. It's something which we do. It's true. We don't have tears bucketing down of pain and agony of the Churban HaBayis. We're not on that level. It's true. And the expectation for us, probably on us in this generation, probably may not be on that level. But at least we show that we care. And by having those basic halachas, that's what we're trying to achieve. Okay. So we're continuing today with the halachas of Tzod. We're learning Sif Tes, which is the top of page 256, which tells us the Parush. Now the Parush, I would be interested to know what the translation is, because I do not know what a Parush is. I do know it's an insect. I wonder if there's some fancy translation nowadays which will give us the exact definition of that insect. A Parush aniko bargus belosh na'arav. Anybody knows any Arabic? How is it fluent? Not so fluent. It's called a bargus in Arabic. This parush, also letzudu, letzudoi. You're not allowed to trap this parush, this kind of insect. Mishabur gives us a bit more details in telling us in Seif Cotton Lamed Hey, Hainu Shchoiro, it's a black insect, Hakufet says, and it tends to jump. It's a kind of bug, I suppose. Joke, maybe a joke. Jokim don't jump so much. They do, yeah. Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yeah, okay, so probably a juk, yeah, or something of those lines. It's an insect for sure. You don't have to trap it, unless, Elohim Kein, unless, well, besorah, if it's on your flesh. If it's on your skin, yes, then you can trap it. V'oiktoi, if it's biting you. If it's biting you, so maybe not. I don't think that, or fine gold, I don't think that a juk can bite. Do they bite? I don't think they bite. Don't think about it. So it's probably so if they bite, you're allowed to catch it. Otherwise, you're not. But also the hogo, you're not allowed to kill it. So you're allowed to, if it's on your skin and it's biting you, like you can trap it, you can take it. But otherwise, you're not allowed to. You're also the hogo, you're certainly allowed to kill it. The af, and also loy malenu biyodoy, do not roll it in your hand. You don't like take it off, rolling it in your hand, doing this movement of rolling it off. Shamaya again, because perhaps you're going to kill it. And again, killing it is not permitted. So by taking it off and rolling it, so if you are doing that movement, you may perhaps end up killing it, and that's why it's forbidden. Hello, only you tend to be able to take it with your hand gently with the cane and throw it away. That is permitted. Again, only if it's on your skin and only if it's biting you. Aval, but kina, what's a kina? A lice. Mutalog, a lice you're allowed to kill. Lice, you're allowed to kill.
Are you allowed to kill lice?
We'll say, we'll
not like these insects are good, biting we'll, you and causing pain and everything.
Very good, we'll speak about it in a minute. If somebody is cleaning his clothes, you remember most clothes was made out of leather. And leather tends to have lice. So if you've got, if you want to remove the lice from your leather garment, that's called hamafale. So hamafale begot of mekinim lo yahagim. If you are trying to take off the lice from the leathered garment, you are allowed to do so, but lo yahagim, don't kill it. Elo, rather, moedalon, roll it biyod of zirkon. He allowed to roll it, take it off the leathered garment, and zirkon, throw it away. Hamafale roishoy mutar agam. But if you are the lice on your head, if you're unfortunate enough to have lice literally on you, in your hair, on your head, the mutar agam, you're allowed to kill it. So there's quite a number of halachas over here. Let's try to get clarity in it. So first we started speaking about the parush, which is an insect, which you're not allowed to kill. But if it's biting, you're allowed to take it off. What's the reason? So Mishnah Berurah in Sefkot Lamed Vav first of all tells us also we need to get clarity that it's ein b'mino nitzoyt. It's an animal which doesn't have normally, which doesn't tend to be caught. Why is that important to know? It's not b'mino nitzoyt. Why? Why is it of importance that ein b'mino nitzoyt? Darbonon. That's right. Otherwise, it would be a deraisa. If we categorize salt into two categories. Minonitzoid is animals which tends to be trapped for a reason. Trapped, those are Minotera Medrabonon. That's right, Minotera. Well, animals which are not normally caught and trapped, ain't Minonitzoid. To trap them is Medrabonon only. So here we're talking about the Parosh. Parosh are not normally trapped. Therefore, we're talking about a level of Drabonon. And that's what it is. It's Kinal Tziv Gimel. And we're learning now that to trap those is the Rabbanon. Sifkot Lamed Zayin. I'm skipping a few lines of it. Sifkot Lamed Zayin. Elim Kein Hu. Hainim Shum Tzared Akit Soloi Goz Rabbanon Al Yisrael. Oh, that's the Chiddush here. We're learning that this Parosh, which is a insect, you're allowed to trap it and take it away. You're allowed to kill it, but you're allowed to trap it and take it away. Why? Surely it's a drabonon. Trap and to trap animals, which is minonitzet, is a drabonon. Why are you allowed to do that? The answer is ve'oiktoi, because they bite, and since it's biting you, he causes agony, discomfort at least, and because of this, Chachamim said, "Oh, we don't want it to be bitten on Shabbos. If it's helping you, if you can remove them without killing them, you're allowed to remove them." As long as they're biting. So what if they're not biting? If it's not biting insects? Do you know now, today is the day that they're all around, those, what are they called? Flying ants. So today's the day. Is there a couple of days a year, no? Today's, did you notice them? Wherever you go, yeah? So it's a couple of days, I don't know what the scientific meaning of that is, but did you notice them? Everywhere. Perfectly in order, perfectly permissible. You may be not allowed to kill them. You know, if they're not bothering you, you're not allowed to kill them physically. You're allowed to walk normally. That's permitted. But yes, even if you have it, yeah. But if they're not bothering you, then you can just walk normally. But you can't specifically purposely kill them. You can't jump on them and collect them and kill them. That you wouldn't be allowed to, because it's also to kill animals for no purpose. But if you're just walking normally, you're allowed to. You're allowed to walk normally. But here on Shabbos, God's to Shabbos, you're not allowed to kill them if they are biting you. And why are you allowed to? Because Chachamim said, this is Nisad Abon. Why is Nisad Abon on? Enemy Nitzot. And since Enemy Nitzot is still the Abon, but Chachamim said, since it's causing you tzar, Chachamim Wamatah is the Abon. This is quite rare. We don't normally allow an Isad Abon on for tzar. Only when it comes to Amir Al-Nochi. Amir Al-Nochi, perhaps. But not a yid doing a Merocha de Rabbonon. If you are at discomfort, you have to switch a light off. Chalila. It's a Rabbonon. It's Merocha. Merocha Shil Tzich Leguf. It's a Rabbonon. Switch a light off. Yeah, it's Merocha de Rabbonon. Switch a light off. If you're not comfortable, you have to switch the light off. Chalila. Chas v'sholem. If you're not comfortable, you have to carry something. If your shoe is not comfortable, you have to take your shoes off and walk around with them, holding them in a... this regular, in an irregular way, it's the Rabbanon to care. Chas v'sholem.
That's an entire knot. If your shoes
on, yeah,
the knot.
Yeah.
That would be a
deraisa. Yeah, okay, so that will have to be discussed by Kosher Matir. But as a principle, it is certainly also to do the Rabbanon b'makom tzar. And here is the exception. That since it's a biting insect, this parosh is a biting insect, and it's ein b'mino nitzoyt, the Rabbanon level, Chachamim Ramat Mokam Tzar. Rabbi said this is an exception to the rule. Generally, we do not allow Nisid Rabbanon Mokam Tzar. Now, I am not sure. I have a couple of points over here. Firstly, I have two chidushim over here. One, generally speaking, if you've got an animal which is bothering you, but it's not biting you, would you
hold, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, I believe. Would you hold if it's an animal that is bothering you, but it's not biting you. What would be an example for that? You've got a spider which is everywhere, and you want to just get rid of it. Would you say, I think you gave a scenario of a kind of thing that you trap the animal, but just on a very temporary basis, you run out and you throw it out in the garden and off it is. So you have trapped it on a very temporary basis. Imagine there is a fly which is like, keeps on going near the, you've got honey and, you know, it's fly. You've got insect and you just want to quickly trap it, catch it and chuck it out the window in the garden. Is this also or not? Because you could argue this is not called trapping. Trapping is only if you're trapping it on a permanent base. But if it's trapping literally for 5 seconds and then it's out in the garden, perhaps that's not. Maybe that's not trapping. Pardon? It might. Even if I appoint a shoima, I'm planting 3 guards to ensure I'm not going to forget. And I'm going to... Rabbi Isai, the halacha is, this is also, and it doesn't make one bit of difference. And do not say it, since it's just for temporary. I'm not really trapping. I'm just picking a cup and I'm chucking it out. Do not say that. And the raya for that is Al Shulchan Aruch. How is it raya? How do you have an evidence from Al Shulchan Aruch that you cannot say that? What if you wake up and there's a spider on your toe? You know, tricky, take it and throw it out the window. So if you're trapping it, yeah, if you're taking it by the, you pull the, you know, you take the leg. Yeah, you take the leg of the spider and you. So the halacha is, this is also, it's salt. And the raya of that is, look at the Mishnah Berurah, Kot Lamed Zayin. Hayinu mishum tzara da'akitz lo gozu rabbonu la'isar tzeida, umutu le'tzudev la'ashlichoi. And that's what we're talking about. You trap it and then you throw it. You trap it. And that's what the Rama also says. From the words of the Mechaba, you can see that trapping something on a very, very, very temporary basis is still called trapping. To not say, it's for a second, I'm not really trapping. No. Trapping for a second is called trapping. Is a melacha de reise or de rabbonon. But it's certainly considered melacha. So that's an important element that we sing of in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi said this is non-negotiable. Point number two. What would you say, and here I want to ask, what would you say is the halacha if you are trapping an animal which is not, I don't know, what kind of discomfort are we talking about over here? If we are saying that oiktsoi is biting, because of this parosh, this biting animal, you're allowed to trap it and take it away because it's biting you. What if it's not this parosh? I don't know what parosh is. I don't know exactly what parosh is. Another biting insect, such as a
mosquito.
It's a wasp. Red ants bite. Some ants certainly do. Red ones. Are there any spiders that bite? Yeah. So, I want to know: are you allowed to take it and throw it? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. Good question. It is in the process of biting, I suppose. Yeah. So apparently, I heard once that the way that most biting insects work is that actually they don't feel that normally the biting element is so sharp that you don't notice when apparently so by flies and mosquitoes, the way they bite, it's so sharp that when it goes into your flesh, into your skin, you will not notice it. It's only when they pull it out, they've got like, it's very, very sharp when it's inserted into the skin. What hurts is when they pull out, and that's what causes it's a bit like a very sharp element, which is sharp on the, and when it goes out, that's what actually hurts. Apparently you don't notice it when it goes in, apparently so. So now the shine is you're right, it's about to bite, or it has bitten. I want to know, are you allowed to take it off or not? Or only this parish? Preventative.
mutter, any other insect as well. What about if it is not yet on your body, it's in the inside of your sleeve, and you see this very biting mosquito, you see that it's about to come, but it's on the inside of your garment. It's not even on your skin yet. It's the inside. You're allowed to take it and whoosh, it says oiktsoi. It's not oiktsoi, it's on the inside of your sleeve. It's inside your collar over here. And you see this mosquito there. Are you allowed to take it or not? Or can you just blow it off?
If it's a spider, depending what type of spider.
I'm talking about biting, but not dangerous. If it's dangerous, it's obviously, yeah. I'm not talking about dangerous. Rabbi say, what do you tell her? A biting, a mosquito which is in your collar. And you can't blow it off because you're just going to blow it in. So, are you allowed to take it off? It's not on your skin yet. Yes or no? No. Says the Mishnah Berurah, there is mekilim that you're allowed to. V'yesh mekilim gam kishu al chalukoi mebifnim. Litloi b'yodo v'lashlichoi. Pen yovoi lidei akitza. I'm repeating the words. In Tzivkot Lamed Zayin. V'yesh mekilim, some are lenient. Gam, also kishu al chalukoi when it's in your garment. Mebifnim, inside. Litloi b'yodo, take it with your hand. V'lashlichoi, to chuck it away. Pen, perhaps, lest. Yovoi lidei akitza, will come to bite. It is good to be machmir, but lemaisa, it is mutter to do so. Rabbi said, we learned tonight the halacha of a parosh, which one is not allowed to trap generally and catch, but if it is on your flesh, you're allowed to. And the Mishnah Berurah says, because it's biting, chachomim were matir, because of tzara, chachomim were matir, lo yigozu berabonon. Not only that, but if it's on your garment internally, chachomim were matir as well, according to the Mishnah Berurah. It's right to be machmir, but one can be maker. We learned that the this is because of tzar the dakitza legoz rabbonon. We learned about the kino is different. We'll talk more details about that. And but however, to kill such a parosh is also, and that remains also chomer not matir. Good evening, Rabbi Stein.